Did I do the settings before? Did you? Let me show it. Let me show you the new settings. So, web chats.
We see you, Henry.
This is later. Again, your computer to the first. I'll take a look at this shit.
We left off, we just started the next figure. The Gemara talks about somewhat of a strange application of Malachas Motek. We've been talking primarily about Ksivas Aget, but of course, in terms of Ksivas Aget, we spilled over to Ksivan Shabbos. And once we talk about Ksivan Shabbos, so Mechika, Mochek on Shabbos, Erasi is not that far behind. So the Gemara spoke about a potentially strange application of Mochek, if rather than literally erasing something, actually a person added ink. The problem is they added a color ink that detracts from the original Ksiva. So it started out there was black ink on the paper, and then they went ahead and they put red ink. So they put Sikra Agabidio. So the Gemara says, oh, that may be a problem. That may be a violation of the Torah of Mochik, because the black letters that were used to be legible as real, full, strong black letters, and now they're covered over with the red. So the black is in effect no longer here. So maybe that's a Torah violation of Mochik. The other thing is the Gemara wasn't sure, is that a derech mekalkelah? The Mishnah tells us that any destructive action on Shabbos is automatically not an issur min haTorah. Is this considered to be destructive or constructive? So the Gemara wasn't sure about that. Two different opinions about that. But Alat said that it was not considered to be subsumed under the Torah mekalkel. One would be chayy for such an action of being mochay. So already Tosus raised the question, how is that mochay? Doesn't the Mishnah say that you would require mochek amanas lichto? That's the way the Mishnah in Shabbos and Gibel describes the blacha mochek. Doesn't have to be amanas lichto for the express purpose of rewriting. And here, presumably, that's not what's happening. The Tosfos says, no, that is actually what's happening, says Tosfos, that when you put the red over the black, you're, of course, planning on subsequently putting more black ink on top. That's actually, going to improve the quality of the ink. Again, we said we didn't really know too much about the blacks and the red inks from the good old days. But says Tosfos, when you put the red on top of the black, that's just a preparation for the ultimate putting the black on. So therefore, it qualifies as a mochek amanas lichto. We took a step back at the very end of this year on Friday, and we said, wait a second, who says that that's what? It's really necessary. Who says that? What if a mochik to be chayev, it has to literally be amanas lichtov? Who says? The Mishnah says it. Not so simple. So one could raise a question, what's the nature of this din in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says explicitly, mochik amanas lichtov. Well, guess what? The Mishnah also says, korea amanas lifor. And the Mishnah also says, sos amanas livnos. It gives a lot of these kinds of melochas and throws in that condition of amanas. So one could raise a question, what is the significance? What is the meaning of that condition of amanas? Either you can understand it to mean it's an absolute chok for yavor. Without amanas, that's not the melacha. Melacha was done in a certain manner in the Mishkan. If it's lacking that condition, that's not a melacha. What do I say? No, it's not the chalal, not true. There's no requirement of an absolute amanas. The only reason why the Mishnah records amanas to these three melachas is because these three melachas smack of kilkul. They're very mekalkel type of actions. I had a beautiful piece of paper with a beautiful story on it. I went and I erased it. I had a beautiful building, and now I got a big pit full of a lot of garbage. I used to have a beautiful garment. Now I have a garment with a hole in it. So those are all malachas that tend to be derech kilkul, but not so simple. If the guy's knocking down the house to build a nice house, The guy's racing to write something better. The guy is ripping in order to sell something nicer. So those are all, the Amanas is serving as a way to overcome the obstacle, the hurdle of Kilgul. If you take that little bit more toned down version of the words Amanas, Amanas are not an absolute, so that any and every time you're doing something positive, that's chayav. Doesn't have to be Amanas. The Mishnah says Amanas, literally Amanas is lav dafka. So the fact that Tosfos turned the world upside down to show you, no, it's got to be Amanas, and they're scratching their heads and trying to figure out where's the Amanas, and who's going to write eventually, it's going to be black and red and black and red. Oh, it must be, says Tosfos, this is Amanas lechtov. You see clearly that Tosfos understood Amanas as an absolute non-negotiable part of the Malach. So this theory of Tosfos, which again, not what we should have agreed to, appears in another Tosfos a little bit later on, almost the identical type of an understanding. It's a Tosfos of Masechta Shabbos, the third of the Mamakomas.
Is it so unheard to say that the Tosfos of Shita Amnash Lichol, though, is, in this case, he actually is writing, not in a future time. The sicker the red is also the writing.
But the problem
is, like the Vazach, it's almost like his Mechika and his Kasiv is coming at the same time.
But the problem is, but he's not Chayav Shum Kosev. The Gemara says if you put red on top of black, you're not Chayav Shum Kosev. So because that's not what writing, because from the writing vantage point, you actually went down in level. You had a great black, and now you got this shvach red. So you can't call that good for the ksiva. So comes Tosfos, the third of the Baba Kamas, and raises a question that seems to be unrelated to this. In a minute, we're going to come back to it. Tosfos says, let's talk about another malacha. Tosfos says, this principle of Amanas, it appears in the Mishnah vis-a-vis Mechika and concerning Soser and about Korea. I have another one, says Tosfos. Hakosha v'hamatir. The Mishnah says there are two malachas that seem to be very closely related. One is tying knots and one is untying knots. It says, Tzorech iyun, imechayev ematir shelo amanas likshor ilo. So it says, I'm not sure when it comes to the malacha of matir, of untying a knot, are you chayev all the time, anytime you untie a knot, or are you only chayev if you untie a knot for the purpose of retying it? So what basically Tosfos is asking is there a fourth malacha to this group of linked malachas? This idea of the Amanas malachas, three of them in the prayer in the Mishnah. And Tosfos says, you know, kosher matir, it's pretty close. That's also pretty similar. When we delo tani lei, ki de tani moch amanas lichtov, ein ledakde. So says Tosfos that, by the way, don't be medayik, don't be so careful about the actual lashon Mishnah. After all, if it doesn't appear, that phrase in the Mishnah is probably not true. The Tai Seeker says Tosfos, the Hokinami Lok Tani Salsum Nas Livnos. I've been a little bit misleading you. I keep on saying there are three malachas in the Mishnah that are all the Amanases. Only two of them are in the Mishnah. Only the Korea and the Mochet. The Salsa and Isos is a Gemara. It's a Gemara in the second Brak of the second Shabbos. So Tosfos kind of lumps them all together. So there are three cases where Chazal speak about the Amanases. And Matir is not on the list. So says Tosfos, the fact that it's not on the list, should that indicate something or not? We're not sure. So Tosfos is Sufik. And Tosfos is Blyper and Tzorchir. They don't know what the din is. They're not sure. In order to be Chayim in a Torah for Matir, must it be Amanas or not? So I want to analyze Tosfos Sufik. Tosfos is doubting whether the dinim of Mekalkel apply to Matir. The Mishnah says, Kol Mekalkel Pturin. So obviously we're not talking about a destructive untying knot. Imagine there's a wonderful knot that's tied. This is the knot that's keeping the boat afloat, and it's the seaman's knot. It's a gewalt. That comes in and says, oh, I'm going to a little mischievous. I'm going to untie this so the whole boat sinks. Chayef and Shabbos, it's a joke. Of course, that's derech kilkul. So anything that a person does derech kilkul, I don't need a Tosfos to have a suffix about. So obviously when Tosfos has a suffix about, is there a din of almanas? What they mean is, in addition to not being mekalkel, is there also a requirement of amanas, namely that new halacha called duvi de mishkan, amanas. If in the mishkan they untied in order to tie, the same way in the mishkan they ripped in order to sew, and in the mishkan they demolished in order to build, and they erased in order to write. Does that new criteria of amanas as an absolute chaytel yavor, is that true by matir? Or is it not true about this? Tosfos Taka doesn't know. Tosfos is entitled to not know. But to think that Tosfos is having a suffix about, oh, is there a din of kilkul or not? That's ridiculous. Why in the world would any malacha not be subject to the rule of Kol Mekalkel Pturin? So this little Tosfos tucked away in Shabbos and Gimel, a suffix, a tzorchi, and the Tosfos never resolves, is part of the general theory of the Tosfos and Gittin, that when we speak about Amanas, Amanas really means it. Amanas is not a game. It's not just a way to measure kilkul or tikkun. Almanasa is an absolute requirement if and when it exists. Three melachas here, kosher matzah, maybe yeah, maybe no. So Tosfos repeats their theory in another Tosfos, also in Shabbos, that Ayin Gimel, here's Ayin, switches to Ayin Gimel Rebbeis. But in order to understand and appreciate where the Baalei Tosfos are coming from, you have to read a very, very cryptic Gemara, the fourth of the Ramakos. Shabbos Ayin Gimel Rebbeis. Amar Rav Kahana, Zoymer v'tzorech le'etim chayev shtayim. If a person is pruning his tree and he wants to use the wood that he's removing it from the tree, he's chayev actually for two different malachas. So we just, us city boys, you know, it's a little bit of a introduction to what pruning is. So Zomer, basically, you hear it from someone who knows exactly what pruning is. You can tell in a second. So basically, pruning is something along the following, that there's this tree growing, or let's say the grapes are growing, there's vine, there's a lot of branches that are growing, and the branches are not necessarily all helping. Some of the branches are actually detracting from the tree, they're drawing some of the nourishment from the parts of the tree that you want. So the practice is you zomer, you kind of like you remove those extra pieces of wood, those extra branches, and that's going to actually make the tree grow better. So Zomer is an absolute Issa Gomer Min HaTorah on Shabbos. I remember I was once we were taking one of our legendary Shabbos walks, and there was somebody not Jewish who was at his front yard, and he had a tree there, and he looked like, I think, was pruning. If I had my best shot, I would say that was pruning. I was so excited. And I was watching Zomer in front of my very eyes. So if a person is Zomer, he removes the extra branches, which malacha is it? So it's interesting. It's not a malacha, but it's not one of the 39 malachas. So Gemara says, on the Seder Shabbos, it's part of the malacha of Zereya. Because Zereya means I take a little seed and I plant it, I take a little sapling, put it into the ground. So Zereya, Noteya, those are pretty much the same things. Zereya is with seeds, Noteya is by trees. The idea of malacha Zereya is that I'm getting something to grow in the ground. So the Gemara says, what's the difference whether you take something from scratch and make it grow on the ground, or if you do something that's already attached to the ground and you make it grow a little bit better. So let's say, for example, I have seeds already in the ground, I have grass in the ground, and I water the seeds, I water the grass. So I'm not planting mamish. That's what's called mashkes azroim. I'm adding water to the seeds that's going to make them grow better. That's also part of the blach of zereya. So anything that I do that either literally makes something grow or enhances something grow on the ground is part of the blach of dereisa. So Zomer is chayav and Shabbos. Here, guys, I'm sure real London. He's trying to be chayav twice. Now we're not going to be able to give him two chayav misos, but he can potentially be chayav two karbonas if he does it b'shogeg. If a person does multiple malachas on Shabbos, so you can be chayav more than one. You can be chayav actually for malacha. So this fellow does one action, but he does the action of zomer. He wants to use the wood as well. Now, very often a person does zomer, just throws the wood out into the garbage. But here, this guy figures, I'm already doing zomer. I might as well use it for some firewood. Now, wait a second. Cutting off wood off your tree, that's another malacha. That's malacha of kotzer. Kotzer literally means to harvest. What's the difference whether you're harvesting your wheat, whether you're plucking your apple off your tree, or you're chopping down some wood for firewood? Anytime that you remove something from the ground, it's almost the opposite of zereya. Anytime you remove something from the ground, so you're going to be chayav mishum kotzer. So Rav Kahana says, you can have a guy who does one action, and he's actually chayav two chatosas for that one action, depending on what his intention is. If he's zomer ve'einot tzorach li'eitzim, so then he's only chayav mishum zoreh, mishum zomer. If he chops something down and doesn't do it derech zomer, doesn't do it in a way to improve the quality, a guy plucks an apple off the tree, that's kotzer. But a guy can do both at the same time with one action. One fell swoop, he's a zomer tzorach li'eitzim. So in fact, he's chayav shtayim, achashum kotzer, achashum neteya. So Tosfos of the fifth of the Ramakomis picks up on the Lashon of Rav Kahana, Tzorech Le'etzim. The only time he's going to be chayev that second chatas for kotzer is if he needs the wood. Now Tosfos gives us a little bit of an introduction. There's a big machlekes atanoim about what if I do a malacha on Shabbos and I don't really need the outcome of the malacha, or I don't need it in the way it was needed in the Mishkan. So let's say we'll give him the example that the Mishnah actually gives later on in Masechet Shabbos. If a person carries on Shabbos, they carry from a private area to a public area, so it's called Hotzah. That's the potential malacha deraisa. In the Mishkan, the items that they carried, they used. They carried the krushim, whatever they carried for the purpose of the Mishkan, were items they were going to use. So if I take a sefer out of my house and into the Rosh Hashanah, I carried an item they're going to use. I take a bottle of soda out of my house into the street, I'm going to eventually at some point could use that bottle of soda. That's called Hotzah Mirshus Lishus. What if I remove something from my house that I don't really want? Actually, the reason why I'm removing it is because I want to get rid of it. But then, for example, I take out the garbage. So a person takes out a garbage bag on Shabbos from his house into the middle of the street. So there was a machlekes atanoim. Is he chayav? Is that a melacha deraisa? Is he potter? So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion when he's chayav, he didn't act the melacha. And Rabbi Shimon says no. Rabbi Shimon says he's potter. And that's the phrase that Chazal used, melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. But the melacha was done, the action was done, the identical action. I picked it up, walked it outside. That's a melacha. But it's a malacha she'ena tzricha leguf. I don't need the guf of malacha. I don't need the purpose of the malacha. My goal, my agenda is radically different than the agenda that was played out in the Mishkan. Typically, if a guy, let's say, takes out the garbage, so the take out of the garbage would be potter for, according to Rabbi Shimon. What about if he takes the garbage can back inside to the house? So the garbage pile brings back inside. So that's a malacha tzricha leguf because he wants to use that garbage can next time to put more garbage into it. So the halacha is you have to really, really fine tune. Why are you doing what you're doing? It's not enough to analyze what you're doing Shabbos. You have to actually analyze why you're doing it. That's according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says the whole thing is not true. So comes to us and says, how does the statement of Rav Kahana fit into that machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Rav Kahana says that the only time Yechai Mishum Kapzer is if and when you need the wood. Is that true? What would Rabbi Yehuda say about that? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're chayv and Shabbos. If you did the action, it doesn't matter what the purpose behind that action is. So l'chora, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Kahana's statement is not true. According to Rabbi Yehuda, zomer v'afilu eino tzach li'etzim chayv shtayim. You're chayv mishum zomer, and you're chayv mishum kotzer. Lemaisa, you harvested. Lemaisa, you chopped down wood. The same way as lemaisa, you carried out a bag of garbage. So you did the maisa malacha. Why you did what you did? What do I care about that, according to Rabbi Yehuda? So just as Rabbi Yehuda would say that when you carry out the garbage, you chayev, presumably Rabbi Yehuda would say, if you are kotzer the eitzim, you also chayev. What's the difference whether you plan on using it or you plan on using it? That's what I would have said. So Tosfos doesn't say that. Tosfos in the fifth Ramakam says, Nira. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who's the biggest machmer and says Yechayev from Malach and Sichel Gufa, but Inan Tzachli Eitzim, still the only time you'll be Chayev and Kotzer is if and when you need the Eitzim. Why is that? The Lo Mikre be Eitzim Kotzer Ella be Inyan Zeh. Also, just threw a curveball on us. Also said that we have to be very, very careful when we define the term Tzorech. As relates to malachas, sometimes tzorech is tangential to the malacha, and sometimes tzorech defines the very malacha proper. Let's say, for example, carrying. Carrying, the essence of the malacha, the basic definition of the malacha, is taking an item from one rishus to another. Tzorech is a tangential discussion we can begin to have. We can open up discussion, is that important condition to be chayav or not? Rabbi Shimon happens to say, yes, it's very, very important. And Rabbi Shimon says, if it's Eina Tzich Leguf, you're going to be potter. And Rabbi Yehuda says, it's not as important as you think it is. What's the difference? Whether you need it, you don't need it. You did the Maisa Malacha, you chayev. So when we're dealing with Tzrachim, which are secondary to the very definition of the Malacha, that's where the Machlekes between Rabbi Shimon kicks in. But there are certain Malachas where the Tzorech is goof a part of the Malacha, no pun intended. It's literally part of the definition of the Malacha proper. And if I did it for a different motive, for a different agenda, I didn't do the malacha. There are certain malachas that tzorech defines the malacha proper. It's not something secondary you can pimple about. Is it necessary? Is it not necessary? So Tosfos is guessing. Tosfos says, I think that kotzer is one of those malachas that we could almost, if you want to coin the phrase of our sugya, you need a kotzer amanas lehishtamish. If you're kotzer not to use, that's not called kotzer. And therefore, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't be chayav. So now the Tosfos just created this new model. They're not sure. They think near it. They're giving it their best shot on. Tosfos says, let's search throughout Shas and find other kinds of malachas that follow the rules of that model. We have 39. So far, we're not going to. We have 38 other malachas to go. Let's find one or two other malachas where Tzorech is an integral part of the malacha to such an extent that its absence is going to exempt you from the violation of the malacha. So look at the examples that Tosfos gives. So Tosfos says, Mide Dahava, our theory that Tzorech is so important, has a few other examples to it, a few precedents to this. Kareya Abanas Litvor, Umochek Abanas Lichtov. Tosfos gives two examples. Our two examples. Tosfos says, you know that you only chayev if you rip something I'm going to split for. You know that you only chayev if you erase something if you're planning on rewriting it. Oh, that shows that Amanas is critical to the very essence of the Malacha. If Tosfos meant, if the Halacha was that Amanas is just a way of gauging the Kalkil, Amanas isn't serious. It doesn't have to be Amanas. Amanas is just a way of deciding whether it's not Makalkel. What in the world does this have to do with the Zomer Tzorach Lietzim? Zomer is Makalkel? Of course Zomer is productive. What are you doing it for? The guys, the farmers working Saturday afternoon being Zomer. Of course he's doing something productive. So for the fact that Tosfos is using examples of Malachas where the term Amanas appears to show you that the Amanas is so important, it's so defined, it's all the essence of the Malacha, and the only two examples as of now Tosfos could dig up were Korea and Mochek, which is our sugya basically. You see from Tosfos that they understood Amanas with the absolute seriousness. It's Chayk v'lo Yavar, and if it's missing, then it's gone, then the Malacha is gone. So we have three Tosfos in Shas, two in Shabbos, one in Gittin, that are all expressing the same idea, the same theory, that Amanas should not be taken lightly. Amanas is not a barometer to measure Kilkel versus Tikkun. Amanas is the end-all of certain Malachas, not all Malachas, but certain Malachas must be accompanied with the Amanas, whatever that Amanas is. So now we have four Malachas. We have Mochek, we have Sosa, we have Kareh, and now we have kind of Kotzer to a certain extent.
Plus that Malacha doesn't have any value. Kotzer has a value by itself. Mochik might not have the same value as Kotzer. It doesn't compare itself in its importance to the act itself that stands alone. So Korea has no value. You're not doing anything. Kotzer has a value to the tree. It has an existential value beyond its Malacha to the person.
Okay, so then you're questioning whether Tosfos' jump from the three Amanasas to this Kotzer model is correct. So not everyone agrees with Tosfos. Tosfos themselves didn't say it with absolute conviction. This is Nira. You have to be dyke, even from the way Tosfos says something. They don't say, this is the Nira. It's Nira. It appears. That's not what Nira means. We would say, L'chora. It appears that's the way it is. So you're right. One could argue in the friendship between the two, but the Tosfos doesn't. Tosfos is presenting that's all part of the same picture. So then Tosfos, you almost get the sense from the Bai Tosfos that they're still a little nervous about this idea. They're still looking for a little bit more, you know, confirmation to this theory that Amanas is so important. So they jump to about 70 blad or so to a sugya in 145th daf of the Masechta. If you make it to Daf Kuf Memhei Masecha Shabbos, then you're entitled to bring a riot from that. So Tosfos brings a riot tucked away for the 22nd Perek Masecha Shabbos the following. The Yom Rabbi Yochanan, the Kaman Perek Chavis. The Gemara is discussing the Isser of Schita, particularly Schita's Peros. The person squeezes out grapes on Shabbos, squeezes out olives on Shabbos. So one is Chayav. That's one of the Lamentes Malachas. It's not clear exactly which Malacha that is. The Rishon will assume it's part of the Malacha of Dosh. Dosh is threshing. What does threshing mean? So I have my grain, and the grain is surrounded with this stuff on the outside of the grain, and I put pressure onto the grain. Either have an animal step on it, I'm stepping on it, somebody's stepping on it, machine stepping on it, putting pressure on it, separating extracting the good part of the grain from all the stuff on the outside. That's basically the Tzura Malacha's Dosh. So the Gemara says that, what if it's not grain, and I'm not having an animal stamping on it, I'm taking a grape, and I'm simply with my own hands just squeezing the grape, getting a couple of drops into my cup. So I'm doing the same thing. I'm extracting the inside from the outside. I'm getting the juice out of the pre using pressure. That is the malacha of dash. So Shechitas Peiros would be malacha deraisa. The Gemara says in the Shabbos that you have to be careful before you paskin that Shechitas is a deraisa. Make sure that it's kederach. Make sure it's a kind of a fruit that normal people squeeze. So the Gemara develops actually three different categories of Peiros in Shabbos. They're what we call zeisim ve'anovim, olives and grapes. That's the worst kind of fruit to squeeze. That's the ultimate malacha deraisa. Then you have what's called tusav rimon, berries and pomegranate, toot banana juice, so strawberry, banana juices. I remember one of the first times I was in Israel. So I bought one of my kids, toot banana, juice. And one of the kids in the classic Ashkenazi pronunciation, pronounce it sus banana. They didn't understand it. There was no dot in it, so it was a sus banana juice. That was a summer's a joke. The horse juice. So anyway, so the Gemara says if you have two simprimonim, that's like a derabonim squeezing. It's not totally normal. On the end, it's not crazy. The Gemara says if you have shower papers, if you have a fruit that no one in their right mind in a million years would ever think of dream of squeezing, that's kaliachaya. That's an abnormal way of doing melacha. So it's not even also midrabonim. So the Gemara has these three categories. How do you define whether something is partially normal or not normal at all? So the chor is going to depend according to the time and place. There's a fascinating Rashi at the end of Masechta Shabbos. The Rashi wants to give you a practical example of a very, very uncommon fruit. A fruit that's mutlach at chidlut squeeze because no meshugah in the right moment ever squeezed such a fruit. So Rashi gives you the old French word, which is from Latin, pei reish vav nun zayin, prunes. I says, prunes, you have a sugar. Who in the right mind would ever squeeze a prune? Apparently, the prune juice, multi-billion-dollar prune juice industry, hadn't made its way to France in the 1000s. So, if it's not as if you squeeze a prune, it's not going to be so good. Well, let's say the Rishonim discuss about squeezing lemons. So, some of the Rishonim say, lemons, have a sugar, who would ever squeeze a it's sour, it's ugly. I'm a crazy guy would squeeze a lemon. So, the Rush writes that it's mutter, you can squeeze lemons. It's okay. No, nobody squeezes lemons. Such a crazy thing, you like to squeeze lemons. So, the Beis Yosef, when he quotes this Rush, so the Beis Yosef writes that where he lived, so people squeeze lemons. And it's a fascinating Beis Yosef because Beis Yosef actually gives you a recipe step by step of how to make lemonade. I'm just thinking like the Beis Yosef's lemonade stand. He says, everybody squeezes lemons now. He said, such a common thing. You take lemons, you mix it, dilute a little bit with water, you put some sugar in, you mix it up. And the Beis Yosef describes literally how to make a lemonade stand for 5 cents a cup. There's a Chai Adam on the Beis Yosef. With the Chai Adam discussed in the Sibir about squeezing fruit, he talks about punch. He talks about where he lived. Chai Adam lived in Poland. He writes that he lived in Poland, so they would drink punch and they would put some lemon juice into the pot, whatever else was in it, into the punch. So he writes the word Hey Aleph Nun Teshit punch. We know what it means. Punch. We fruit punch. A wine punch. They write the word punch. So I'll never forget. I was once flying to Eretz Yisrael, and there were two Hasidim sitting next to me, and they were learning Dirshu, happened to be up to that simon in Shulchan Aruch. And I overhear these two Hasidim talking to each other and learning this sugya, and they're breaking the teeth on the Russian tables of Pei Aleph. They thought it was like Po Omar or somebody. They couldn't figure out what in the world the word the Chayyad was. So I couldn't take it anymore. So I just turned to them. I said, it's punch. I mean, it's like a wine, like fruit punch. It means like a drink. They were like, they were blown away. Mamish blown away. So I overheard one saying to the other afterwards. He said, "Ugamlo me dirshu." He must be learning dirshu. I don't even know what they're up to in dirshu. I said, "There's only one place in all Mishnah when he says the word punch." And I heard them talk about Chidus Peiros. So it's one of those things you don't forget. You see, once in Mishnah Berurah, you remember the punch. Anyway, so back to the story. So the Gemara in the end of Masechta Shabbos talks about what if you squeeze the following? It's not a grape. It's not a pomegranate. It's not a lemon. It's not a prune. It is the following. It's kvashim ushlokas. It is either food that was cooked that has no liquid in it, or it's food that was pickled. So pickle juice. So a guy takes a pickle on Shabbos and squeezes out the pickle juice. Is that called tzchita? Is that called dosh? Is that a malach? Is it not a malach? So Rabbi Yochanan has a startling distinction. Rabbi Yochanan says that back to the Tosfos for a minute. Echad kvashim, the third law in the fifth Maromach. Echad kvashim, echad shlachas. Sheshacht sachta megufan mutal mevein chayv chatas. If you do it because you want to drink the pickle juice, so then you chayv. That's like squeezing a grape. I'm squeezing out the pickle juice because I like pickle juice. But what are you doing in legufan? Doing it to improve the pickle. You don't want to just fakir. The doctor told you the pickle juice is very high in sodium. Am I right? Pretty salty. You want to get rid of that pickle juice. You want to have the pickle. You really want to eat a cucumber, but cucumbers don't taste so good. So you want to shut a little bit of pickle juice in it. You don't want it to be drowning in pickle juice. So you squeeze it out to get rid of it, to make the goofa pickle taste a little bit better, a little bit healthier for you. So you know Rabbi Yochanan says, mutter. It's okay, you're allowed to do that. So Tosa says, my shower the goofa. Why is that mutter? Love it, kibbutz, it's still a goofa. That should at least be also with the Rabbanan. That's not disha. Dosh means squeezing for the juice. When you squeeze down for the juice, that's not a malachas disha b'chlal. So we now have five malachas Tosas collecting. Soon we're going to have no malachas left on the other side. Tosas has 5 out of 39 where they're guessing that the tzorech is so important, so integral, that the lack thereof knocks it down to be mutlach atchila. So, around right, six, right, possible, right, five and a half, five and a suffer. Right. So we have a not clear even. So that's already a good proportion. 6 out of 39. That's a pretty significant amount. The Tosas developed this theory time and time again. They said it in Gittin, and they said it in Shabbos and Gimel. They said in Shabbos and Gimel Beit. And they say every single time, every single they get to, they keep on revamping this cloud, adding more and more malachas to this cloud. That Al Menas is so critical, so significant. Its absence will declare to be a not a shame malacha b'chlal. So we have a little bit more work to do in this Tosas, just in terms of the Tosas and Shabbos and Gimel, and then eventually circle back to the Mochik, which is ultimately going to be Asur Gimel to Shem Tzimol. What do we decide just in terms of the rest of this week? The Olam is around till Friday. Okay, so maybe we'll just go till Friday. We'll think that it's bottom next week. Ready for people to